It tells us in Genesis chapter 32, starting at verse 1, Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's camp." So he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, to the country of the Edom, instructing them, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male servants, female servants. I have sent to tell my lord in order that I may find favor in your sight." The messenger returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he is coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and herd and camels, into two camps, thinking, "If Esau comes to one camp and attacks it, then the camp that he left will escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, the God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your kindred that I may do you good,' I am not worthy of the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the faithfulness that you have shown to your servant. For with only staff I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two camps. Please deliver me from the hands of my brother, from the hands of Esau, for I fear him, that he may come and attack me, the mother with the son, with the children. But you said, 'I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude.'" So he stayed there that night, and from what he had with him, he took a present for his brothers Esau, 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milking camels, and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These he handed over to his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, "Pass on ahead of me and put a space between droves and droves." He instructed the first, "When Esau, my brother, meet you and ask you, 'To whom do you belong? Where are you going? And though and whose are these ahead of you?' Then you shall say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a present sent to my lord Esau, and moreover, he is behind us.'" He likewise instructed the second and the third and all who followed the droves, "You shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him. And you shall say, 'Moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us.' For he thought, 'I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of him, me. And afterwards I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.' So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp." Look at verse 22. "The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, crossed the ford of the Jebel. He took them and he sent them across the stream, everything else that he had, and Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day has broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Please tell me your name.' But he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.' The sun rose upon him as he passed through Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, this day, the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip on the sinew of the thigh. Let me pray for us. A lot was said, and you guys were like, what is going on here? Jacob fighting with somebody and running from Esau. What is the Lord sharing with us and teaching us about himself in this text? Let me pray for us and ask the Lord to help us. Our Father God in heaven, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us back to your word. Lord, your word gives life. Lord, your word is full of truth. So, Lord, sanctify us in your truth at this time. Let us, Lord, see the beauty of your word at this time. It's your word, Lord, cast out all fears. Your word does it. So, Lord, help me, Lord, in my areas of weakness, Lord, that I don't distract your people, Lord, but I preach your word faithfully, Lord, that your people can cling to your word this day. So, Lord, give me the boldness, Lord, to proclaim your word faithfully. Lord, if anything in my notes is not of you, Lord, remove it right now. That I honor you, Lord, this day. So, Lord, I ask you, Lord, to go before me, but also go before your people at this time, too. Many might be focusing on the things to do later today or tomorrow or this week. You'll be distracted by many various things in life. But, Lord, nothing else is more important than at this time right now. Nothing, Lord, that we can be anticipating for in the future can be more important than to hear your word. So, Lord, bring their minds and their hearts, Lord, to be attentive to your word. And let them, Lord, grow into your truths. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I remember years ago when I was a little bit young, and we would go to different theme parks. And I wouldn't mind going to the water park, jumping in. I wasn't too much afraid of water. But one thing about the roller coasters, right? They used to have this one, I don't know if it still exists, people that's from Dallas. They used to have a thing called a Texas John, Long John, or Texas, what's the name of it? Texas Six
Flags. Texas
John. Texas John. Okay, there you go. Texas John. I'm thinking about Longhorn football, y'all. Texas John. It had a John, and it's huge. I don't know if you guys ever been on, anybody ever been on Texas John? And on a Texas John roller coaster, it's not made out of like metal beams to hold it up. It's made out of wood. All these pieces of wood are put together to make up this Texas John, one of the biggest roller coasters in the U.S. And for me wanting to face my fears to jump on this roller coaster one day, I had opportunity to do it. And so my brothers were in front of me in the line, and it's time for the little lever. Let you know that, hey, right now, you're coming up next. And so it was time for me to get on this Texas John in front of everybody around me. And I'm ready to face my fears. And my brothers are ready to face their fears. And what happened at the time, and the roller coaster went up and went down, and it came back around. It was time for the lever to go up for me to get on and for my brothers to get on. And so as the lever went up, my brother went ahead. And for me, I went right back to my mom and my dad. And I was fearful. I was scared of it. And there's many other things that many of us might be fearful of. And Jerry, no one of them is mice. I'm scared of mice. If I see a mice, I will run. It don't matter how OG I am. I will run from a mice. And many of us have faced different fears in our own lives, different circumstances. And today's test, we're going to be able to face Jacob today. He's going to be faced with fears. And for me, I ran back to mom and dad, right? And a lot of times, we all, when we're faced with fear, we want to run. But sometimes, what happens when we don't have any place to run to? A lot of times, we have to face those fears. A lot of times, they overtake us. They bring about frustration, anxiety, right? Depression. When things we face that are out of our hands, we can't have enough strength, enough wisdom to make everything right in that moment. And so for us, we try to flee and we try to work through it, and we're just afraid and we make more of a mess of the situation. Family, I think that same character of fear, right? When not knowing or not being able to control the future ahead of you, it affects all of us in this room today. Many of us We want our husbands, right, to get it together. We want our wives to get it together. Boyfriends, girlfriends, singleness, co-workers. We want everybody around us, but what happened when that fear is there and it doesn't get together, right? I pray that this message today resonates for all of us in this room. What fears are before us? How are we encouraged to respond to it? Do we flee? Do we fight? What do we do? I hope to be able to conclude today with a solution. What we do when we are faced with fears that are outside of our hands. So let's do this today. We're going to do it in 2 points. So quick, short sermon today, all right? Quick sermon, just 2 points, all right? First point, Jacob is fearful of Esau. Number two, we're going to see God builds up Jacob's weak faith. So jumping to point one, Jacob is fearful of Esau. We have learned that Jacob was alone going to Padan Aram. Padan Aram is the place of Haran. When Jacob went over to meet Laban, when he ran from Esau, he ran up to Padan Aram to find a wife. And what did the Lord do? The Lord has been good to him. The Lord has been kind to him. And the Lord provided for him. Everywhere we've seen, the Lord has provided for him. Even when Laban has treated him so rudely, God has surely been on his side along the way. God allowed him to make it to Padan Aram safely. Now God has now brought him out to Padan Aram. After facing the deception of Laban, over and over again, God has been beside him. God has cared for him so far. So in chapter 31, the Lord told Jacob to leave. Leave Laban now. Take your family and leave and go back to the land that I have promised to you. And as Jacob leaves and heads back to the land that God had promised him, we see in verse 1 and 2 that Jacob has some messengers to meet him here. Jacob acknowledged what was happening was that after the Lord, the angel of God has met him. Angel of God had met Abraham in the past. We saw that, we heard about that in the past. But then you see that the angels of God had met Jacob on the journey. And what happened here with the angel of God? They comes there to care for him. And Jacob responds and says, this is God's camp. If the angels are like this military force of the Lord sends out, the angels are before him, and Jacob marches back to the promised land. He goes back to the promised land. He marches back with angels all over him. That God is on his side. He don't have to fear anything. The angel of the Lord is before him. The angel of the Lord will care for him in the midst of this. So Jacob right here turns around. It said this place now is called Mahanaim. It's a place of the Lord now. Because the angels have came, that the Lord has provided for Jacob here on the way back to the promised land. So Jacob is kind of encouraged now. He encouraged him to continue in his journey. For Jacob knows that eventually he will have to face his brother. So this posture that Jacob has right now, will this posture be enough for him to see angels are with him? The Lord is going before him. Would this be enough for Jacob to face the fear of his brother? Family, for all of us in this room, right? As believers in Christ, we know that there's angels all around us. And ultimately, we know that the Holy Spirit is in us. And so for us, we can feel like Jacob right now. That's a camp, God's camp. We are in God's camp. We are God's people. And the angels are around us. So family, we don't have to be afraid of our fears, do we? But let's be honest. Be honest. With us knowing that angels are around us, do we still struggle with fear? The fear of racism? The fear of singleness? The fear of not being heard. The fear of not being a good father, or the fear of not being a good wife, or the fear of unemployment, the fear of many other things in our lives, the fear of not being treated fairly. I mean, how many people here deal with fear? Fam, I think we all do. We all do with some form of fear. But we know the truth is that God is in us, right? We know angels are around us, so why do we get fearful at times? God even made it a way that our fear is no match with His glory, His majesty, in His nature. That fear doesn't even compare to Him. But as for believers, though, is that we still get fearful at times. So what do? We know that God is good. He gives us angels. He cares for us. But our fears are still on the other side of us. I think we struggle at that because we don't want to accept the truth of who God really is in that moment. The problem is that we don't hold on to the truth. The truth can't be held on to. Because if I hold on to the truth for so long, the truth is not going to get rid of this situation. That's what we believe in that moment. You notice about verse 3. Jacob knows all these things I just mentioned. God told him to go back. God said he got angels all around him. But in verse 3, we see Jacob sent messengers to meet Esau in the land of Seir. Seir is across from the Gilead. Gilead was the place that I told you guys that when Laban and Jacob made the covenant. So Esau was like on the southern part of the Jordan. Jacob could not pass over to Israel unless he had to encounter Esau. So Jacob had to head towards, eventually go to Beersheba. But eventually, if he gets to Beersheba, he's going to have to meet Esau eventually. And also, it makes sense that Esau is not in the promised land at this time either. Esau is like on the outside. Like, if you're going to go into this promised land, you're going to have to go through me. So Esau is right here. And for Jacob, having to go back to this land, he's going to go to his brother. So Esau is outside of here. You remember Esau is outside because the blessing belonged to Jacob. So Esau, this land doesn't belong to Esau anymore. So Esau is not in the land. Esau is outside the land waiting on Jacob to come back. So what did Jacob do? Jacob sent messages to meet Esau and Seir. Listen to what he says to Esau. Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now. I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male servants and female servants. I have sent to him to tell my lord in order that I may find favor in your sight. What is Jacob doing here? Jacob is fearful, right? So Jacob uses success in his life to try to win over Esau's favor now. Before I see Esau, I'm going to let him know that I have a plethora amount of things to give to him. Got plenty of oxen and donkeys and flocks and pounds of all types of things that are waiting on him. So Jacob is trying to win over the favor of Esau. Jacob even called Esau Lord here. But in actuality, is Esau Lord or Jacob Lord? Why is Jacob calling him Lord? Did y'all miss that? Did y'all catch that? What is happening? He called him Lord. Isaac said in Genesis 27:40 that Esau was serving brother. It should be Jacob should be the one that's Lord. So why is Jacob calling Esau Lord? Jacob is fearful of Esau. Jacob is not worried about the blessing. Is that true? That he's not worried about the blessing? Family, I don't think that's true. I think Jacob knows about the blessing. I think Jacob is on to something here. Jacob calls him Lord. Jacob gives him animals. Jacob is trying to win favor. But ultimately, Jacob is trying to give his blessing back to him. So I guess that. Jacob is trying to give the blessing back to his brother, which he deceived his brother and took from him. He called Esau Lord to suggest that Esau deserved his birthright. He called Esau Lord to present that Esau deserved the blessing, not me. But Esau didn't come to him to say hi and give it back to me, did he? It said Esau coming with 400 men to meet you. Oh no, Jacob. And so it's not working for Jacob. Jacob wanted to give everything back, but Esau was saying, I'm coming with 400 men. This was more men than what Abraham used to defeat the people to take back Lot. You remember when Abraham went in and defeated the kingdom, the massive kingdom, to get back Lot? This is more men than Abraham had. 400 men. If Esau normally would have, someone that has the amount of people, you're going to have to meet somebody. You wouldn't take the whole army out there with you. He takes 400 men out there with him. So Esau has a major army with him. How did Jacob respond? Look at verse 7. Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. He divided the people who were with him in flocks and herds and camels to camps, thinking if Esau comes to one camp and attacks his camp, that is left will escape. Jacob, I thought there was a camp of God. Jacob was afraid and distressed. He is terrified. So what happened, y'all? Even in a time like this, when Jacob's trying to make things right, even when you ask someone for forgiveness and they don't accept it back, and the fear that comes from that, or the trauma, or the hurt that was caused towards that person, and not even just that, other things in this in our lives can be terrifying to us for us not to face what lies in front of us. Again, I mentioned some earlier. Not being accepted by others. Not controlling everything in your life. Not graduating college on time. Not even being the most important person in the room. Not making the most money in the room around others. In a similar way, Jacob was terrified as well. He was terrified. He was distressed. He was afraid. And let this hit home, family. I know many of us got into it with somebody this week or last week. It comes back to this being distressed, being afraid. And a lot of times we have sinned because we were afraid of the outcome. But let's not just think about this message that I'm talking about was 4,000, 5,000 years ago. Family, this message resonates to us here in this room today. We all have dealt with this. We all are continuing to deal with fear and with distress. So how did Jacob respond when knowing that the things were before him were too powerful for him to be able to handle? Turn that question back around to you. How do you respond when knowing what is before you is more powerful than you can handle? How do you deal with that? And for you in here that might be kind of strong enough to say you can deal with it, you can go forward with it, that's not true. You're not strong enough to overcome the loneliness and singleness in of yourself. You're not strong enough to overtake your not listening to your spouse properly. So what do you do when the fears and the failures around you? Well, Jacob tells us in verse 9, Jacob said, "Oh God, my father." Jacob turned to the Lord. And he said, "God of my father Isaac, oh Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your kindred, that I may do you good. I am not worthy the least of all the deeds of steadfast love and all the favor that you have shown to your servant. For with only myself I crossed the Jordan, and now I have become two camps." Jacob pleaded with the God that had delivered him in the past. He go to the Lord and let the Lord know that things are too strong for him. The God that would make his offspring as the sand of the sea in Israel. The God that has steadfast love and that is faithful. Jacob went to God because he knows his God can do whatever he can do. So family, we can approach the same God as well. There is nothing more powerful than our God. He's stronger than all. We don't have to be afraid of things. It should be enough for Jacob to rest, right? He praised the Lord. He praised the Lord. It's over with. Let's go meet Esau now. He praised the Lord. But family, he praised the Lord, but Jacob sends over 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 20 sheep, 20 rams, 30 milking calves, 35 pounds of perk. Now, he didn't say that. Say that y'all was listening for that. Y'all was thinking I was going to say that, didn't you? But no, he sent over 20 female donkeys. But look at this, though. He prayed to the Lord. But he still sends things over. What is going on here? What is going on with you? What's going on with me? You pray to the Lord, and it seems like things still doesn't go right for us, does it? So what's happening here? This is possibly all his possessions. How long has he been with Laban? 21, 28 years? He's been with Laban all these years. He's willing to give everything up to his brother now. Jacob is willing to give up everything to Esau, I would say, for two reasons I probably can see in this text. Two reasons. Probably be two reasons here. The first one I can say he's ready to give up everything, I say again, is fear. He was willing to give up all what he had to make the wrath of Esau go away. Jacob just prayed to the Lord, then he went back to fear. I think we often do this as well. We pray to the Lord, right? Then we go right back to it, to the fear. We pray to the Lord, we go back to the fear. We pray to the Lord, we go back to the fear. All right? Then the friends, right, come around us, they encourage us in God's word, we go back to the fear. And some of y'all be like, man, I'm not talking to you no more about this. We talked about this a million times already. You're not even listening to me. You go right back to it. Pray to the Lord. And we struggle with committing our ways to the Lord. And I think because the Lord might not answer by giving us over to our enemies or whatever we want to receive out of that, in that particular moment, the answer that we want. So guess what we do? We go back to the fear. We go back to the fear because we are not content in what the Lord has offered us in Him of Himself in that moment. So we go back to the fear. And we stop going to the fear when we get what we want on the flesh. And the flesh is what? Going, giving in, and hurting someone, or belittling someone. So we're not content in our fears until we can truly put it in our own hands to make a mess of things. The second reason I see here, I see why Jacob is giving everything back. Again, what I said earlier, I think it's a sign of repentance. That Jacob, again, know that he had deceived his brother and wanted to give his brother everything back to him. One thing is to say is that to say that he's sorry, but Jacob want to come back and say, hey, I want to find favor to you. I have manipulated you in the past. Now I want to give you everything back. Jacob is trying to be straight up and making things right with the person that he's offended. So on the other side of this, how do you make the wrong, or how do you make right of a season or a friendship or something that you have done? You will go to the Lord, right? You ask the Lord for forgiveness. You seek the Lord. You turn to Christ, right, first. You turn to Christ, not Christ will do it. But you turn to Christ and do it. And what happens when it still doesn't make things right? You turn to Christ, but the fear is still there. I'm hoping now, point two, as we end with point two, let's see now what happened here. When the fear in our lives are so strong, when we're afraid, what's in front of us? We turn to the Lord, but we still are afraid. Even when we try to make things right, things still are not reconcilable. So what are we doing on this? What's happening in this? What happened with Jacob? Let's look at point two. God builds up Jacob's faith, weak faith. Jacob is fearful and afraid. Esau is coming his way. Esau is not taking these possessions from Jacob. Jacob has sent all his possessions to him. Esau is like, bro, I don't want none of that stuff. I'm coming to you, bro. I'm coming to see you. So what happens here? Jacob is giving away everything, y'all. We now even see that Jacob has his possessions now with the J-book. So all the camps that went in front of him, and now his wives and the rest of his what he has, he sends them over to Jabbok. Jabbok flows into the Jordan River. It's between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. So it's about 115 miles away from where Esau is at. Esau is coming. With them Jesus sounders on. Y'all know them sounders, right? Esau got them on, and he's coming. Now, what does Jacob do? Jacob sends his family over. Jacob now, he's in a place he's never been before. Jacob is by himself. He had fear. He sought the Lord. Fear is there. He tried to give all his possessions back to him. Now Jacob, one last thing Jacob happened to be able to give to him was his life. The last thing Jacob can give to Esau is his life now. To let Esau now get back vengeance on him. Now Jacob is by himself to meet him. What would happen here now? How would Jacob respond? How would Jacob respond to this? Jacob's at the lowest point. So now would be a good time for Jacob right here to call upon the name of the Lord again. But we see something else happens here before Jacob calls upon the name of the Lord. The next thing we see is Jacob at the lowest point. Now a man come out of nowhere starting to fight. He started to wrestle with a man out of nowhere. It seems like things are getting worse for Jacob. I mean, God called him out of this land, right? God called him out to this land, called him out to Israel, but it seems like God is nowhere near him. If God is so faithful and so good to us, why is God allowing all these things to happen to us? Why is God allowing this to happen? So this man started wrestling and fight with Jacob. And it wasn't just some of y'all fight for like 5 or 10 minutes. But they said they fought all the way up into the morning. This is one of them fights that you fight each other on the ground, you tie for a minute. And they said, I won that fight. No, you didn't. They get back and start fighting again. And they keep going back and forth fighting. It was a long fight. How in the possible are they fighting this long? You would think these dudes must be tired by now. But the fight went on forever. And Jacob wouldn't let go. No, the man wouldn't let go. But Jacob said, I can't lose in this. And the man said, I can't lose in this. So it seemed like Jacob, even at this moment of fighting, that Jacob is ready to almost lose his life in this fight. And I think, y'all, that's what this man was trying to see Jacob all along. That Jacob prayed to the Lord, right? He tried to seek reconciliation from Esau. But Jacob, having gave it all the way over to the Lord, how far are you willing to go to let go of everything in your life to follow after the Lord? Yes, Jacob prayed. He sought the Lord. He tried to make things right what he's done with his brother. What if you go that far in life and it's still not reconcilable? I think that's what the Lord was trying to see with Jacob here today.
Jacob, you can go that far. You can try to give all these things back. You can be fearful. All these things can happen. But Jacob, I'm the only one that made things right. The Lord was trying to get Jacob to see that. Because Jacob would not let this man go. The man even touched Jacob's hip socket and put it out of place. And Jacob still wouldn't let him go. Because Jacob knew that this man was able to give him what he couldn't give himself. When you think about it, Jacob has Esau to worry about. Now he has his hip to worry about. He has to worry about his family. They worry about fighting this man. And things seem like it can't get better for Jacob. So what is the Lord doing with Jacob here? The Lord's doing the same thing that Jacob does to us. He does the same thing he's doing for us in our own lives. It's no mistake, y'all. It's no mistake. You feel like when trials, one thing hit, then another thing hit. You seek the Lord and another thing hit. And you feel like the Lord has left you. The Lord has forgotten about you. Family, the Lord allows you to keep taking to be hit. We don't want to face that and say that, do we? It's the Lord that allows us continually to go through these certain things. I heard many of you guys even were testing school. I've not done too well with it. And by Lord's grace and Lord's mercy, you can make 100 in every class you had. But why did the Lord allow it to happen? Why? The Lord allowed it to happen. Because he knew what we need. He knew what we need. We needed to die to self. No matter how many times you can do things on the alternative to try to make things right. We can try to work our righteous works and everything before everyone else. But that would not give you true joy. Only joy comes when God goes before us. And we trust him. And trust him not worrying about the outcome. That's when we see our fears go away. Knowing that our fears are no comparison to the hand and the strength of our God. So Jacob was wrestling with this man. Jacob doesn't know this man's name. The man asked, well, Jacob, what's your name? How you going to be fighting somebody you don't know? And they fight back and forth, and Jacob tells him his name. And the man said, your name is no longer shall be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. This man changed Jacob's name to Israel now. And he said, you have striven and wrestled with God. So Jacob was wrestling with the pre-incarnated form of God in the Old Testament now. Jacob was wrestling with God. That God was wrestling with Jacob. The name of Israel is all over the Old Testament now. And now, as you heard this test today, now you're going to see why Israel's name is Israel now. Their name's going to be Israel, so now they're going to wrestle and fight throughout the rest of the Bible to the Old Testament. They're going to meet the Canaanites, the Jebusites. And as they wrestle and fight with them, now they're going to see that God is on their side. Because what happened with Jacob? So Jacob prevailed over him. Jacob prevailed over him. What did they get that he prevailed over him? This is God. How can Jacob beat up God? So what does it mean by he prevailed over him? It means Jacob was resilient. So Jacob knew the blessings can only come from this man that he's wrestling with. He can't find it with Esau. He can't find it with the possession that he has. But prevailing and fighting over this man, that I'm going to do whatever it takes to get the blessing from this man. You guys might be like, Preston, I still don't understand what you're talking about. Let me make it plain to us, family. We must prevail over the Lord in rough times. What I mean, prevail in the face of trials. We must prevail when we're too tired to read the Word of God. We must be prevailed when things before us are outside of our strength. We must prevail and say, Lord, I'm going to continue praying to you, Lord, till you provide for me in this moment. In other words, is that prevailing gets this nagging. That I'm going to nag to the Lord. I'm going to nag over and over. I'm going to continue praying that, Lord, this fear is before me, Lord. I cannot do anything with the Lord. Give me your word. Give me your word. Family, do we wrestle and fight after the Lord when times get hard for us? Or do we give up and say, Lord, I just give up. I'm not going to fight no more for you. The Lord tells us to fight, to conquer, to fight for him in those moments. And that's what Jacob did. Jacob fought and he pleaded and pleaded and pleaded. And what's the test ends out with? That the man blesses Jacob. The man blesses Jacob here. That Jacob now is confirmed to have the blessing, not actually Esau. So family, you can continue wrestling with the Lord to listen. Pleading with the Lord to plant his word in you. That you won't stop asking him for his word. Pleading with the Lord that you need his grace. That you won't stop asking him for his grace. Pleading with the Lord when singleness and marriage is too much to bear. You wrestling with the Lord to help you in those times of struggle. You pleading and pleading and pleading and crying out to the Lord. No matter if he doesn't, you feel like he's not listening to you, you still pleading with him. Fellow, we can do that. We can plead. We can cry out to the Lord. That's what the book of Psalms gets at. They're crying out to the Lord. Lord, my enemies are around me. Lord, you said you're going to be here for me. Where are you at? Family, we can cry out to the Lord. We can lament to the Lord. So, family, don't stop wrestling and prevailing in a way of asking the Lord, just like Jacob here. What happened here? Jacob now. His fears are not really considered anymore. Even though we know fleshly, you don't have fears and other things, but the storyline kind of shifts now. Now Jacob now is going to go meet his brother. He's going to eventually meet his brother. And guess what Jacob's going to do? He's going to meet his brother and show you the boldness of him. That Jacob had a hip, right? That was hurt, and now he's gonna limp all the way to Esau. He's gonna limp all the way to him, knowing that he has striven with the Lord. What happened? The Lord delivered him in this moment. The Lord could have struck him dead for wrestling with the Lord. The Lord delivered him. The Lord brought him out of it. And he named this place where I have seen God's face, and yet my life has been delivered. Let's call for Neo. The Lord delivered Jacob. And as the Lord delivered him from this, that Jacob now can face his fear, because the Lord has delivered him again. So family, God uses fears so we can wrestle with him to establish our walk with him. It's okay to talk to the Lord. It's okay to plead with the Lord. A lot of times we go to our prayer, we go to God prideful. We go to God prideful. We should go to the Lord being honest. Lord, I pray to you, and I just don't understand what you're doing right now. Lord, I have sought you, but I'm still afraid of what's going to happen to me tomorrow. So what you pray to him again. You go to his word again. Go to another person, you pray to him again. I think a best example is that we in. A picture of wrestling, right? Prevailing wrestling. I think it's a picture in John 17. John 17. When Jesus before his father, right? And Jesus asked his father, right? We talked about this past Friday. Jesus before the father. And Jesus asked the father, can this pass, right? Can this pass for me? And when Jesus asked him, his past for me, it's just wrestling that, is there any other way? Is there any other way, Father? Is there any other way? And Jesus already knowing that this is the only way that he has to redeem the people for himself. And Jesus looked at his father, any other way?
when Jesus returned.
That Jesus didn't continue, Jesus didn't give up in speaking to the Lord. Jesus said, nevertheless.
Right?
Nevertheless.
And Jesus goes on.
He takes the wrath of the Father. He faces the fear. He faces all those things before the Father.
He doesn't give up on his Father.
He asks the Father, what's going on, and Father, is any other? And Jesus, in the end of this, Jesus says, Father,
give me this cup. Give me the cup.
And Jesus takes the wrath that we deserve. Family, the glorious picture that's resting in Jesus.
And let us learn from Jesus.
Let us learn from Jesus
that he died for us. He brought us out from bondage. He rescued us like he rescued Ruth and protected Jeremiah and God of David from Saul.
He healed the sick. He brought the life to Lazarus.
And all these people that I just mentioned to you, they all have fears. And he provided for them. Family, take our fears to the Lord. And as we take our fears to the Lord, we go to the Lord. We go back to the Lord. We continue going to the Lord until the Lord calls us home on that glorious day. So that's what we do with our fears. And we continue begging the Lord to help us when things are hard for us.
Let me end with an application here. Remember these verses on times you forget about him. Think about Psalm 34:17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles.
We can cry to him. He's going to deliver from all of our troubles. Family, not some of your troubles. He said all of our troubles. All your fear, everything else goes in your trouble.
Anything that I mentioned here in this room, no matter what you're going through, it says what? The Lord delivers from all of our troubles. Not some of them, all of our troubles. Psalm 107:6. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress.
Family, the Lord delivered them from distress. What did the text say? That Jacob was in distress.
But now it says in Psalm 107:6. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their trouble, their distress.
You can do it.
Instead of cried. This crying is emphatic, right? It's just not that he said to the Lord, he cried to the Lord. Psalm 50:15. And he called upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me.
Sam, family, is that enough? Is that enough?
2 Samuel 22:2. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears.
How do your fears go away?
I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears.
He sought the Lord.
Why does David keep writing this over and over? It's like he had fears in the past. He sought the Lord. He had fears again. He sought the Lord. David is showing us that family fear is going to continue coming. Family, we should continually go to the Lord.
What about the New Testament?
Gray read John 14. It says in John 14, we don't have to be afraid twice in John 14. We don't have to be afraid.
Second Peter 2:9. The Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials.
Second Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. And I can stop, I'm going to stop there, but I can continue going through many verses in the Bible, how the Lord has brought us through.
Family, he would do the same for us today. He would bring us through. So we don't have to run from the Lord. We don't have to create some worse righteousness to try to get rid of our fears.
Family, we can run straight to the Lord.
Or we can continue running to the Lord. And continue running to the Lord. And continue running to the Lord. Until the Lord answers us. Let it be us this morning. Let me pray for us.